Welcome to the January edition of Muse News, the BCMA's monthly museum sector news podcast. Each month, we recap some of the latest news, happenings, and announcements from museums, galleries, and heritage organizations across BC and beyond. Join us as we explore the latest Muse News.
Thanks, Lorenda. Mackenzie Art Gallery appoints the first ever Indigenous Museum Director in Canada. The Mackenzie Art Gallery in Regina, Canada has appointed John G. Hampton as its next Executive Director and CEO. Hampton has been the institution's interim director since August, and he succeeds Anthony Kendall, who stepped down in January. Hampton is a citizen of the Chickasaw Nation and grew up in Regina. He makes history as the...
At a time when the COVID-19 pandemic has fueled anti-Asian racism and violence around the world, a new exhibition in Vancouver aims to shine a light on the accomplishments and hardships of its Chinese-Canadian migrants. The new exhibition, A Seat at the Table, Chinese Immigration and British Columbia, in Vancouver's historic Chinatown district celebrates the achievements, bravery, and determination of thousands of Chinese immigrants who have been arriving in Vancouver for more than 170 years. Starting in the mid-1800s, villagers, generally from the southern provinces, traveled by ship across the Pacific looking for work building the Canadian Pacific Railway or trying their luck mining for gold. In the 1950s and 1980s, Vancouver's cultural culinary scene was enriched by waves of Chinese immigrants hailing from Hong Kong, Taiwan, and mainland China. Now the stories of those migrants and citizens are being told in the Museum of Vancouver's first exhibition in 20 years to focus on the Chinese community. The temporary exhibition is a preview of what will become the first museum devoted to the experiences of Chinese Canadians after the British Columbian government announced an investment of $7.8 million to build a permanent home for the exhibition. Told through the lens of Chinese food and culture, A Seat at the Table takes visitors on a nostalgic wander across time and generation through pictures, videos, interactive story panels, and audio. The exhibit includes restaurant menus from decades past that offer dishes such as wonton soup, spring rolls, and beef and broccoli. It's a far cry from many of today's Canadian Chinese restaurant menus, where you'll likely find a melting pot of provincial cuisine and flavors, including Taiwanese beef noodles, Szechuan hot pot, dumplings, and even the globally popular bubble tea. Food speaks to the different immigrant experiences in terms of when families came to Canada, explains Denise Fong, a co-curator of the exhibition that will travel throughout the province through 2021. A lot of the time, they start running a restaurant, and usually a few relatives will partner together. They often settle in different locations in small towns in Canada, so one of the industries they went into was starting restaurant businesses. It's not just a story about Vancouver's Chinese Canadians, it's really trying to reach out to other Chinese Canadian communities in the province. In one display, three mini slot machines used in an illegal gambling den in the 1940s tell the story of 65-year-old Gary Ng's father, Joey, a professional boxer who stepped out of the ring to set up a gambling den he ran for 20 years in the 1940s. "It looks more like a safe than a slot machine," Ng says with a chuckle. "There were only nickels and dimes at the time. I had to drill one of them open because there were coins still in there and I couldn't find the key. We have three left. There used to be 100 of them," he says, adding that his father probably sold most of the slot machines, keeping three for memory's sake. However, while many of the exhibits are nostalgic, others are a reminder of more significant moments in the Chinese community's history, including political activism. One installation tells the story of a campaign and 10-year legal battle in the 1970s to save barbecue meat stores in Chinatown. It is told through delicate, miniature paper cutouts of the storefronts and their supporters. The path has not always been an easy one for Asian immigrants to Canada. Denied the right to vote in federal elections prior to 1947, they were also banned from professions such as law, medicine, accounting, and engineering. It wasn't until Chinese Canadian veterans returned from the Second World War and made demands to vote that they were eventually granted full rights as Canadian citizens. Co-curator Vivienne Guslin said the exhibition took years to complete, with historians, educators, students, community activists, and staff at the Museum of Vancouver collecting personal stories and items of significance from members of the Chinese Canadian community in BC. The goal was to highlight the diversity of Chinese Canadian experiences, she said. While most of the exhibition will intrigue and tug at the heartstrings of visitors and hopefully instill a sense of pride to the ancestors of people depicted, Fong said, she found some of the stories to be tragic. "We interviewed a grandmother from Chinatown and she talked about growing up in a post-war Hong Kong," Fong says. "I grew up listening to my grandparents and parents talk about how tough life was in the 30s and 40s and that they didn't have enough food to eat and that everyone was poor. but this grandmother said that when she was a little girl, she had to pick up breadcrumbs and toast crust off the streets. There were flies everywhere, and she picked them up and ate the food. She was an orphan. She was illiterate, but she was so humble. At certain moments, she would cry because she would remember how tough it was growing up. I didn't expect to hear these stories, but for me, it's interesting to learn what it was like for people who grew up in Hong Kong in that era.
Aviation Museum Monument honors BC Pilot, a memorial dedicated to a Second World War pilot who was posthumously awarded the Victoria Cross. The only pilot from BC to receive the award has been installed at the entrance of the BC Aviation Museum. Installation of the memorial honoring Lieutenant Robert Hampton Gray, who was from the West Kootenay area, was scheduled for last August, but has been delayed due to the pandemic restrictions. Quote, I think the memorial, which shows off cutting-edge photo engraving using a laser etcher, is beautiful, said Terry Milne, the project's manager. It sets the tone and class for the museum.
A new online exhibit spotlighting BC's Black pioneers has been created by the BC Black History Awareness Society with support from Digital Museums Canada. Sylvia Meng, the president of the society, says the exhibit was created in part to help address racism, which she says comes from lack of knowledge. We live in a society in which we are all very aware of the problems that we are having with racism, Meng said. So when we know history, then we can put things into context. For example, one of the earliest Black communities in the province was formed in 1858 when nearly 1,000 Black Americans moved to BC at the invitation of then Governor James Douglas. Mifflin Gibbs, who was part of that group, went on to become the first Black person elected to public office when he became a Victoria City Councillor. Many other stories are also now part of the exhibit, including that of Charles and Nancy Alexander. The couple were an integral part of the community in Saanich, BC, helping build the first school and participating in the annual Saanich Agricultural Fair. More than 100 descendants of the Alexander family still live in the area today. I would like for people to go and see the exhibit and to learn about the pioneers, you know, and to learn the great things they did here in Canada, said Meng. The new exhibit can be seen through the website communitystories.ca, then clicking on British Columbia's Black Pioneers, Influencing the Visions of Canada.
Port Moody Station Museum wants to convert an old storage shed into a men's shed, giving local handymen a place to work on their personal projects as well as their mental health. Port Moody Station Museum is looking to put work back into the city's working class roots. Jim Miller, the museum's executive director, is hoping to start a men's shed society in Charles Shop, the former workshop that once housed a lumber carrier. Port Moody Council is expected to consider the idea at next Tuesday's meeting.
When Mike Patterson completed 3,000 volunteer hours at Sydney's Shaw Center for the Salish Sea, balloons did not drop down from the ceiling to mark the momentous occasion. In fact, Patterson cannot recall what she was doing when she crossed that threshold in mid-December. Probably trying to climb the ladders to feed the fish, she said with a chuckle. It's not a job for most people, especially my age, but I love it. Love it dearly. Getting on and off the ladders, accessing various tanks in the center, with its 35 aquarium habitats home to more than 160 marine species and 3,500 animals, can be a bit of a squeeze for anyone. But Patterson, who's preparing to celebrate her 80th birthday in 2021, sparkles with enthusiasm as her fingers dibble feed into one of the more accessible tanks, all while promising its occupants a delicious meal of plankton. I love talking to the fish, she said. I always talk to them as I feed them. While feeding the fish and other marine life at the center is Patterson's main volunteer duties these days, her historical portfolio of volunteer roles has reached far beyond. In fact, Patterson was already on the books as a volunteer even before the Shaw Center for the Salish Sea officially opened its doors in the current building in June 2009. Volunteers like Patterson, one of the 125 current volunteers ranging from 13-year-olds to octogenarians, are integral to the running of the nonprofit aquarium as they perform various duties, said Tina Kelly, the center's director of learning. We are not only proud of our place in the community of Sydney, but the community we have within our walls, thanks to our volunteers. As a member of that community, Patterson has volunteered in administration, species collection, and youth volunteer mentoring over the years. Patterson has also helped with public outreach and educated center visitors, said Kelly. Now I don't like people, interjects Patterson, drawing laughter. Patterson's past work as a naturalist on whale watching boats, the Institute of Ocean Sciences, and with the Sydney Whale Museum, one of the precursor organizations of the center, suggests otherwise and speaks to her passions for the ocean and its creatures, be they small or large. Born and raised in Victoria, Patterson eventually found her way to Central Saanich, then Sydney, after having retired from her career as a medical technologist at the age of 48. By her early 50s, she was satisfying her passion for the sea through travel as well as her multiple volunteer roles, a passion that has filtered down to Patterson's granddaughter, who is currently completing her Bachelor's of Marine Biology in Bristol, England. She is dedicated, tenacious, fun, and has a fantastic sense of humor, Kelly says of Patterson. She has a zest for life and lifelong learning that is inspiring. Her commitment to the center, combined with her confidence in truth-telling, she has no doubt influenced the organization in ways we cannot measure. After 11.5 years, I'm also proud to call her a friend. Patterson, for her part, says that she does not plan to slow down, even if she might have plenty of reasons to do so. I think part of living is that you are always learning and improving, she said. There's just so much there. I think you have to be busy all your life. I don't care how you are or what you do. I think you have to have some type of passion.
A new foundation set up earlier this year will help finance northern projects planned at the Canadian Museum of Nature in Ottawa in 2021, focusing on ongoing projects to digitize Arctic specimens in the museum's collection. Quote, "We have a world-class collection of Arctic fish, plants, lichen, and moss, and getting that information out there and making it available to as many people as possible is the most important challenge ever. To show the global community the Arctic's climate crisis and biodiversity challenges we're facing and need to respond to," said Jeff Cirilla, the museum's vice president of research and collections, in a phone interview. The Nature Foundation is the charitable arm of the Canadian Museum of Nature. The foundation launched in October 2020 with approximately $4 million in gifts. Arctic research is one of the four strategic priorities, along with nature education, minerals, and the future of science.
Toronto's 10 history museums have launched a new program that aims to address the lack of representation in stories about the city. The program, called Awakenings, is a virtual series of art projects by artists who are Black, Indigenous, and people of color. The projects will be released in stages over the next couple of years. This month, the city will release three online art projects, along with behind-the-scenes discussions called Awakenings Reflections. In a news release on Monday, the city says the program at the Toronto History Museum, a group of 10 museums owned and operated by the city that aim to bring Toronto's history to life, is part of its attempts to address anti-Black racism. The art projects will explore stories that haven't been told, attempt to awaken new perspectives in viewers, and invite members of the public to discuss what they are seeing and feeling in response to the artwork, the city says. Toronto Mayor John Tory says in the release that a city is committed to making investments in BIPOC artists, not only to show support of their work, but also to deepen awareness of untold stories and to create change. The Awakenings program at the Toronto History Museums helps to address the gaps identified in programming and representation, Tory said. The time to invest and create change is now, as we work towards confronting and eradicating anti-Black racism and all forms of racism within multifacets of our city. The city said in the release that Toronto History Museums have recognized the needs to reassess the ways in which they develop, deliver, and evaluate their programming. In accordance with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's calls to action in the museum sector, the Toronto History Museum sites are embracing partnerships that embody Indigenous voices, stories, and knowledge into programs, collections management, and sites, the city said. The Awakenings program begins to address the lack of representation in the stories of Toronto's history. According to the city, more than 80% of people involved in Awakenings art projects are from Black and Indigenous communities, as well as people of color. Julianne Christian Lotz, best known as Director X, said Awakenings will present a more authentic version of Toronto's history. "We were always here. Black, Indigenous, multi-generational immigrants, and people of color were always here, as were the heritage sites. This will be a true awakening to Toronto's unseen history and our stories that need to be told," he said. He added that there is talent in Toronto that needs to be cultivated, and young Black people don't get the opportunities they should because the doors are often closed. "The film industry is a very white place still," he said. "Some of the whitest rooms I've ever been in are on Canadian sets, Canadian advertising agencies, Canadian television shows. It's frankly shameful how much they exclude people of color." Lutz says the situation is different in the music industry. "Young people of color have put Toronto on the map," he says, pointing to Drake and The Weeknd as examples. "You walk in these boardrooms and none of that is there. None of the diversity you see on the streets is in the boardrooms. The Canadian creative industry should be ashamed of how white these spaces are in a city like this. We need to do the work to change that." Isi Mensah, a choreographer, agreed, saying, "Our stories have been left out of the global narrative for centuries. We must move forward by healing and empowering our truths in order to obtain a true sense of equity and, most of all, unity." The launch of Awakenings is a tremendous day for the city, according to Shara Blackman, Director of Museums and Heritage Services for the city. "It means the world to me and my colleagues and our partners that Awakenings has come to life for Toronto and that we can begin a journey and a dialogue towards including voices of all community members in our spaces," she said. Toronto Deputy Mayor Michael Thompson, who represents Scarborough Centre, said Awakenings will bring new perspectives through what he called diversity-based art forms. The museums are working with creative people from Black, Indigenous, people of color, new Canadian, and multi-generational immigrant communities to reshape cultural perspectives, encourage self-reflection, and promote accountability, Thompson said. The three online art projects released this month are A Revolution of Love, Behind the Curtain, and We Were Always Here.
Have a healthy houseplant? Prince George's Exploration Place needs your help to sprout a new botany display. With hopes of welcoming back Prince George residents by Canada Day 2021, the Exploration Place is putting together a new exhibit dedicated to plants. Dubbed as the Paleo Botany Hall, the local science center is reaching out to the public to help create a living 90-foot wall by donating houseplants from the community to display. Exploration Place CEO Tracy Calajeros says this is the first time the museum is requesting a helping hand since its temporary closure during COVID-19. She hopes for a great response as the faculty plans a new interactive display. Quote, "It's a complete redevelopment of our galleries, one that I'm so excited to share with the community," says Calajeros in a recent release. Quote, "We're hoping to tap into Prince George's legendary generosity and collect cuttings that we can get growing now so we have them ready this spring to plant." Thanks, Lorenda. Join us next month for another exciting edition of Muse News.